May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And the Song of Solomon, in this little place in the Song of Solomon, we're given a glimpse into one of the proper names of God. We know that the scripture says God is love, but this sort of backs that up in a different way, sort of a poetic language. But in the Song of Solomon, when it speaks of oils, I've shared this before with our group. I don't wear cologne. I wear oils. And so I have oils sent to me. And so I rub them in my skin. They carry a fragrance. The thing about oils is they don't have alcohol in them. So it doesn't just evaporate. It sticks around for a long time. And when your body temperature raises, and of course Jesus lived in a day in a place where it was hot a lot, and that the fragrance actually gets brighter. And so oil speaks of presence. You could always tell different people by the oils they wore, their presence. And so it says in Song of Solomon chapter 1, it says, your presence, your oils have a pleasing fragrance. And your name is purified oil. That's what it says here. But the word purified oil in the Hebrew is actually oiled oil poured forth or poured out. Poured forth or poured out. And so it says here, your name, this is your name, presence poured forth or presence poured out. Now, there's a lot of places in the scripture where like one verse, like if you got put in some kind of awful concentration camp, but you had that like one verse in you, you pretty much have the whole Bible because it sort of explains everything. Everything else fits under that. You know, like you're diagramming a sentence, everything's connected to that. This would be one of those. There are a lot of those actually in the Song of Solomon, but this would be one of them, is that his name is presence poured forth or presence poured out. And what that says to us is that God, it's really important to God to have a relationship with us, that he extends himself, that he pours forth his presence. He like with the woman at the well, like staying, we talked about yesterday, when he spent an extra night in Jerusalem at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles, just to be there when they caught that one woman in adultery to change her life. I mean, he'll go out of his way. I mean, you would think God has a lot of other things to do, right? He's like busy, God. No, so it seems to us he's going out of his way, but actually that is what he does. And so he kind of goes out of his way to encounter us, presence poured forth, because he wants us to know him. He wants for us to be open ourselves up to him, deep calls to deep. He wants us to have relationship. He's not just accessible for those who are here Sunday. He doesn't just never leave. He's always on the pursuit for us to know each other better. His name is presence poured forth, but his name is also presence poured out, which is a great description of what the cross was all about, because the cross was the ultimate expression of God's heart that says, I want you to know me. I want us to know each other. You say, well, he's God. He knows everything about me. I understand that. He's omniscient and he's omnipresent. He knows everything about you in a sense, but he wants to hear you disclose your heart to him. You with me? But that's one of the reasons Jesus, God, stepped out of eternity, became a man, a person, and was tempted in every way like unto us. One of the reasons, just one of the multiple reasons, is so that you would trust that he understands humanity. Again, like there's one of us that sits among the Trinity at all times, right? Forever and ever. So he wants you to understand that he understands, and so you can share your heart. He wants you guys to know each. He wants us to know him, and he wants to know us to the point where he would pour his presence out. Do whatever it takes, whatever is necessary. Now, here's the cool thing about the cross, too, in light of the scripture, is that we know that he stepped into our darkness when he clothed himself in flesh. You with me? He stepped into human darkness. He stepped into the darkest places and allowed himself to be tempted in every way because he wants us to know each other. He and I, in this relationship, he wants us to know him. He wants to include us into his reality of relationship. But he didn't just step into our sphere. It says, as a result of the cross, the resurrection, ascension, I'm now seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And darkness really can't, just pure darkness can't dwell in that relationship. And so He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. See, because the cool thing is that it's not just that Jesus lives inside of me. I mean, that's enough, right? That's amazing. But he's also included me to live in the atmosphere of the inner relationship of the Trinity, that holy, playful environment. And he made me righteous in him so that I could have that. That's the coolest thing in the world. You see, and what that does, it provokes us to pour out our heart. The last time that Mary Magdalene washed the feet of Jesus, you know, she poured oil out on his feet a couple of times. And then, but when you get to Mark 14, it says that she broke the alabaster vial and poured all the oil on his head. And you only did that. These women carried around this vial of alabaster oil because it was their dowry. It was part of their dowry. And on the wedding night, when it was marriage consumed, was consummated, they would do that. They would break it open. And they're not saving it anymore. I'm not saving myself for anyone else. And I'm pouring everything out on you, honoring you as my head and as my heart. And so when she did that, Jesus' explanation, when the disciples rebuked her for like the third time for wasting this oil, that she did waste it this time because she broke the thing. Before she had poured some out, but this time she broke it totally. And that was probably worth $50,000 in our day. And Jesus said to leave her alone. He said, you don't understand what she's done to me. And then he talked about the fact that she was preparing his body for burial. Because you see, I believe other than Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene understood the heart of Christ. Maybe John the Apostle more than any other human being. I'm not sure anybody loved him as intensely. Again, she's the one that he revealed himself to first in his resurrection. And I think she got it. She understood how far he was prepared to go for us to know him, for us, for me and Jesus to know each other, to have relationship. The disciples didn't get it. She got it. And so in light of that, in that moment of seeing, oh my God, I see where he's headed here. I see how important I am and we all are to him, that we would know him, that we'd have a relationship with him. And it caused her to respond in the same way. There's nothing left for anyone else but you. I give everything to you because your name is presence poured out and presence poured forth. That's just awesome to me. Isn't that amazing to you? Have you ever not felt valued? For CTKers, we're going to talk about this more on Sunday. But, I mean, have you ever wanted to feel honored? I mean, have you ever had a need to feel deeply respected? You've been included into the inner relationship of the Trinity in Christ. And so how much honor and respect have been among the persons of the Trinity in their relationship? You participate in that. They honor you and respect you that way. That's the atmosphere consciously that you and I should walk in. I mean, that's just one thing. You know what I'm saying? It's bigger than we've ever imagined. I'm so grateful that I'm in love with someone whose very name is presence. Not just poured forth. He's always pursuing. He's always after me. But also presence poured out. That he would go that far just so we could know each other. Isn't it what it says about eternal life? John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. There are two words for knowledge in the New Testament. Anna, the genius, would know this. One is head knowledge, information. The other one, gnosso, is the word experiential knowledge. In the Greek Old Testament, it's the same word when it said Adam knew Eve. It's the most intimate kind of experiential knowledge. And it says in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would experience intimately you, Father, and me. That's what eternal life, for all of eternity, that's going to be the deal. His name is presence poured forth and poured out. That's all about. No wonder the response was afterwards, therefore the maidens love you. Isn't that cool? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.